1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1 in the King James, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And so we can see here that, and I like how the Spirit of God had Paul write this. He said, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ." That you could say right there is being spiritually minded. So one thing I want to look at here, let's continue. Let me read this from another translation. The Living Bible says, "The Holy Spirit's power was in my words, proving to those who heard them that the message was from God. I did this because I wanted your faith to stand firmly upon God, not on man's great ideas." In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 5, it says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And that word power, again, is the word dunamis. Now, turn over to Zechariah, if you would, for a moment. Zechariah, just hit Malachi and back up a little bit. Zechariah 4 and verse 6. Chapter 4 and verse 6. And the Lord is speaking here to Zerubbabel. And he said, in verse 6, he said, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." I like some of the easy-to-read translation. Our version says, "Your help will not come from your own strength and power. No, your help will come from my spirit." So it's not by might or power, but by his spirit. That's where the help is going to come from. The New Century Version says, "You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my spirit." That's how we're going to succeed. And so it's going to take us working with the power of the Spirit of God to get us through and to get through the things that God has assigned us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, some of these scriptures we've gone through in past lessons. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 19. Says, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." the New Living Translation, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power." Hallelujah. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." So the gospel came not just in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Just going back through some scriptures that we've looked at. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. What does it say? It says, "Now unto him that is" what? "Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according how? To the power that worketh in us." That excites me. The New Living Translation says, "Now all glory to God who was able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." That excites me. So this is telling us here that through his power, that we can accomplish more, infinitely more, that's what that says, infinitely more than we might ask or think. The Passion Translation says, "Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you." Hallelujah. So his power is at work in us. What does it say? It says, "Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this." That's the Passion Translation, verse 20. Glory to God. Now, let's take a look at, for a few minutes, let's go over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And let's look at verse 5. Acts chapter 4 and verse 5. And we can see what happened here. After the day of Pentecost, we know Peter got up there and you can see after in chapter 2, after he was filled with the Holy Ghost, what happened. But verse 4 chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst..." Now, you got to go back and look at this story. This is when Peter and John, after being filled with the Holy Ghost, what it says, the man who was lame or crippled from his mother's womb at the Gate Beautiful was healed, right? And that stirred up a whole hornet's nest there, right? And that happened in chapter 3. And then you can read all about that. And then when you go back over and you get down over into chapter 4, this is what happened. They said, "Enough of this. We're going to stop this." Right? Because what happened was, after that, you read in verse chapter 3, verse 11, it says that after the man was healed, all the people ran unto them in the porch. So they were all moved on because of this man's miracle, because he got healed, right? So all of these high priests and all of these dignitaries and so forth, they're going to shut this down. So verse 7, it says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter," what? "Filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'You rulers of the people and elders of Israel,'" and you can go down and read this, "'if we this day be examined of the good deed to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you, to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole.'" And you go down and read the rest of it. And he goes on, and they're gnashing their teeth, right? But now let's go down further down into the chapter and look at verse 29. And, of course, they threatened them. And, of course, in verse 17, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, and that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." So verse 29. "And now, Lord," what are they doing? They're praying to the Lord. "Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with" what? "All boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." See, now we're talking about corporate prayer. Look what happened here. And when who prayed? They had prayed. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. So you can see here that when the Holy Ghost is manifested and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, timidity goes. It says they are filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake what? The word of God with boldness. In verse 32, "And the multitude of them that believed were of" what? "One heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." Now look here in verse 33. "And with" what? "Great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." You know what I like about this? This word power is dunamis. It's the explosive power of God. But great, if you look it up, it's called mega, megos in the Greek, is mega power. This just wasn't power. This was mega power, right? Mega dunamis gave, I don't know what that is. I thought dunamis, boy, if you're filled with dunamis, that's all right. This was great mega dunamis. I don't know what that is. That was over and above dunamis, I guess, right? Gave the apostles witness. Now it says here, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land and or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold." So it goes on and talks about that. But it says, when they prayed together and asked the Lord to help them, what did he do? He gave them great boldness. They asked for that. "Grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, that we may speak your word, and by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." And then when you go over to chapter 5, of course, it talks about Ananias and Sapphira and so forth. But verse 12, it says, "And by the hands of the apostles were" what? "Many signs and wonders wrought among the people." Hallelujah. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So now let's jump over. Let's look at verse 6. I'm sorry, verse 6. Chapter 6. Starting at the beginning, and it says, of Acts, chapter 6, and it says, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, what? Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And of course it says, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now look at verse, and it talks about the word of God increasing and so forth. But look at verse 8. I thought it was interesting. In verse 5, it says, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. But now look at verse 8. It says, and Stephen, full of faith and what? Power. I thought that was interesting. He was full of faith in the Holy Ghost, but this verse said here he was full of faith and power. And he did what? Great wonders and miracles among the people. So you can see here that when one gets filled with the Holy Ghost, they're filled with power. They're filled with power. And we should expect that. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't doubt the power that's in you. Don't doubt the power that's in you. It's not by might or by power. It's not your own strength or power, but it's by his Spirit, saith the Lord. That's how we're going to accomplish the things that we do. It's by his Spirit, his power working in and through us. Hallelujah. Where was the other chapter I wanted to look at? chapter 12. I thought it was interesting here. And the first few verses, it says, now about that time, this is in chapter 12 of Acts. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to do what? To take Peter also. So he was going to do him in. He saw it pleased the Jews. He killed James. He got a hold of Peter, and he wasn't just going to be nice to him. He was going to kill him. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Yeah, they were going to kill him, just like they wanted to do with Jesus, right? Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison, but what did it say in verse 5? But what? But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. In my Bible, and in the margin for prayer, it says, instant and earnest prayer was made by the church for Peter. And of course, we know what happened. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And you remember how he came out, thought he was in a daze, and then went to where? Went to his own, camp, and they thought it's his angel. Let me in, it's me. It'd be me, the one you were praying for. I'm really convinced, you know, I'm seeing this a little more clearly here, that I'm convinced there's things that have happened either in your life or in a church that could have been stopped had there been more earnest, heartfelt prayer for someone. And I think it answers sometimes the question when individuals say, but I prayed for so-and-so and it didn't work. Sometimes I ask the question, was it that we needed more to pray? Was it more than just one person's effectiveness? Would there have been more effectiveness had it been a corporate group coming together in prayer till we got it? Because here's the thing, you know, when I say that, in reading through, I've got through almost this book by Dr. Brim on how to pray during the end days or end times. And she talks about back in the 1800s and the early 1900s, how people got together and prayed into the wee hours of the morning. They didn't say, oh, we've been here an hour, it's time to go. They prayed until God showed up. And they prayed until the power of God shook people and things. And I said, you know what? I said, I include myself in that we've just been too conscious of, I got to get somewhere, I've been here too long, I got to go, I'm hungry, whatever it is, right? Whatever the stuff is, I'm tired, blah, 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 right? And I think that those are the kind of what I call secrets that she saw in these old-timers praying until they got something. They just prayed until they got it. And I believe that as we approach and get closer and closer to Christ's return, we're going to see more camps of people come and just come until they get something, till they get it. Because it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God that we're going to get it. Is by his Spirit. And it's going to take, you know, the flesh will fight you every step of the way. You can't do this. You don't want to do this. You know how it goes. I got to go. I'm tired. I can't stay. I can't pray. It's too long. We've been here 4 hours. We've been here five. It is too long. This doesn't make any sense. Yeah, but here's the question. How effective has our prayers been? Or could they have been more effective in, you know, we all rejoice when we see people come to Christ, but could it have been more effective had we come together and prayed and hungered to see people saved? This is exactly when you read in these books, especially this one on Revival Fire, when you see and you read up on Charles Finney, who came up all through New York State, all through Albany, Schenectady, all the way up in these areas, they would go in and pray in an area and all the bars would shut down. The presence of God, the power of God was so strong, it convicted people. The theaters shut down, no movies. They went out of business. Nobody wanted to go to the movies anymore. Movies. Nobody, the bars shut down. People who were walking the street cursing, no more cursing. The power of God was so strong that it convicted people of sin. And it was just these two individuals, he and this associate, that would go in and just hold up in prayer until the power of God was released. And I believe we're going to see that more and more, but it's going to take all of our thinking to change, that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I believe it. I do believe it. So as let me just read a few more of the scriptures here over in Colossians. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 9. It says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." See, this is talking about ceaseless prayer, unceasing prayer. "We do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." See this here? This is going to take prayer so that people in churches come to the knowledge of Christ. It's the same thing. I'm absolutely convinced. Yes, I know the scripture says that the minds of the Jews are blinded to the gospel, but I'm absolutely convinced there are people searching for the truth. May not be all of them, but there are some that are seeking the truth. And I believe as we continue to come in prayer, it's going to change that Jewish community. You've got 30%, over 30, almost 34, 35% of Rockland County. When we were talking with the a town supervisor here, he said, you know, the last census, and of course there'll be new stats coming out, but the last census a couple years ago, there were about 340,000 people that live in Rockland County. And almost 34% of that identify as Jewish. Now, all of them are not Hasidim, ultra-conservative. They're not. But I'm convinced that through prayer, through concerted prayer, we're going to see changes in that. We're going to see people come to know Christ. And it's going to upend their communities, and the gospel is going to go in. So verse 10. That you might, this is continuing, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What does it say in verse 11? Strengthened with all might according to what? His glorious power. Hallelujah. Unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Thank you, Lord. The complete Jewish Bible says in verse 11, we pray that you be continually strengthened with all the power that comes from his glorious might. You're talking about the Holy Ghost. His glory strengthens us, empowers us. And it says, so that you'll be able to persevere and be patient in any situation joyfully. So we can do the things that God has called us to do through the power of his Spirit. And as we come together in prayer, that as we pray out the plans of God, he'll strengthen us to do that. So as we come together and pray, he'll strengthen us to pray through his plans in this area. And the plans regarding this government and anything else that God leads us to. Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 16, or verse 14, chapter 3 of Ephesians, in verse 14, 15, 16, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might, this explosive power. By what? By his spirit, where? In the inner man. The Complete Jewish Bible says, I pray that from the treasures of his glory, he will empower you with inner strength by his spirit. He's talking about strengthening us with his power. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this power, the Spirit of God's power, is here to help us. What does it say in Acts 10:38? How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with what? The Holy Ghost and power, who went about what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, that means that accompanying that should be power to do what? Do good and heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. Not somebody special. We're all special. And if you've received his spirit, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. That means that his power is there and it's resident. We can let it sit dormant, but that means we've got to move and act upon it. Amen. Glory to God. I believe God is moving. He's moving in these last days, and I'm looking forward to seasons of prayer and seasons where the power of God is manifested in a greater, more demonstrative way. I'm looking for that. I'm desiring it. I'm expecting it. Because it's not just to come and say, hey, we had a great time. It's so that we can come and God can begin to move in our midst to do the things that he desires. Amen. I believe God wants to change the atmosphere in this area. And when we come together, it's also in prayer to do what? Pray out the plans of God, but also pray out and stop the strategies of the devil. You know, when I think about praying out the plans of God, I remember when Leanne Sozaby was here. She talked about how they would spend time, a small group of them, would spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, praying out the plans of God. And God would begin to use them and show them how to pray for certain things and what to pray for. And I remember when she was, one of the CDs I was listening to, she said that they were praying and that the Lord showed them a door. And they kept praying and that door opened. I don't know if you heard. And it was into China. It was into China. And there was this door that was being held. And as they prayed, it opened. And then I think she said that the Lord was showing them that this there was a particular person that was sent into that area. So we can pray, and God may use us in that way. I'm not saying he will, but as we make ourselves available and yield to him to use, God is looking for the body to be used, so that we can begin to pray mysteries, as the scripture says, praying mysteries unto God and speaking. This is where we don't know, unless God reveals it, we don't know what the plans of God are. We don't know what they are. And so you praying in English, you're limited because you don't know. But praying in other tongues says we pray mysteries unto God. And so as we pray in tongues and other tongues, the Holy Ghost can begin to use us the power of the Holy Ghost can begin to work in and through us to pray mysteries or the plans of God. And we can begin to pray those out and let God use us so that they can be fulfilled. And that's the exciting part. That I believe as we do that more and more, we're going to see more results. Amen, amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about it. I'm excited about this. And I believe that our times in this new year are going to be more productive and more focused in this particular area to see the power of the Spirit of God work in our midst in a greater measure, in a greater way. Amen. I believe it. And we have to believe it and expect it. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm expecting God's power to be manifested in a more powerful way in and through us as a body. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Thank you that you're moving in our hearts. You're stirring our hearts to seek you in a more passionate way. Your word says the effectual, fervent, heartfelt prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And we thank you, Father. I believe that the heartfelt, effective, and the fervent prayer of a corporate group availeth much also. So I thank you, Father, that you're moving in our midst. And Father, we yield ourselves, our minds and our hearts in a greater way to be used by you this new year. We thank you that you're soon coming, but there's much to be done. And we thank you, Father, that there's much to be accomplished here on this East Coast where we live. And we purpose and desire to be used by you in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many are ready to go here? I'm ready to jump in both feet for me. I'm ready to be used in a greater way by God in prayer.